Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. Do you ever find yourself sitting at your computer at the end of a long work day thinking, where did all the time go? It's certainly happened to me more often than I care to admit. And it's not just about how quickly the time passes. It's also about what I have or don't have to show for that time. And when asked about what people value more, time or money, the answer is usually time. So how do we make the most of what we have? To help us answer that question, I've asked Claudine Motto to the show to offer a few powerful tips and resources to help us put time on our side. Claudine is a productivity coach and professional organizer based out of Wellington, Florida. Through her business, Business in Blossom, Claudine works with women entrepreneurs who want to get clear and in control so they can stop spinning their wheels and grow the business that they love. She helps them remove obstacles and develop strategies that result in saving time, getting more done, achieving their goals, and making the time to enjoy the journey as they go. Claudine is a member of NAPO, the National Association of Professional Organizers, is certified in Microsoft Outlook, and loves giving productivity tips, home office organization know-how, inspiration, and motivation to all women through her monthly newsletter and Facebook page, as well as through her new blog. When Claudine's not busy helping women reach their goals, she's curled up with a good book on time management, business, or self-development. Other pleasures include watching her cat Goblin enjoy the sunspot on the patio and going out for Spanish food and sometimes even salsa dancing with her husband and best friend, John. Happy New Year, Claudine. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Beth. You too.
Thank you. So let's kick things off by getting some context about you and your business. Tell us a little bit about your business and how you got into being a productivity coach.
About 4 years ago or so, my husband, well, he was my boyfriend at the time, but we decided that we were going to move to Florida. And I saw that as the perfect opportunity to ask the eternal question, what is it that I really want to do? It was just the opportunity to ask that. And I hired a coach to help me through that. And basically, just based on my experience, I don't know if you know that when I was in New York, I was in operations and management, which really was all about productivity and planning and efficiency. And based on that and my personality and the things that we found out through working together, that we thought professional organizer and productivity coach were like the right foundations for a place to start. And then as the years went on, my business evolved into what it is now, which is really to help women entrepreneurs bridge the gap between where their business is and where they want it to be, and fixing or working on whatever is keeping them from getting to that place, which is often it is poor time management or disorganization, sometimes it's just plain fear or not being clear on their priorities.
It's probably hard to talk about, you know, time and productivity without talking about those things that get in our way, because the two are probably very inextricably linked.
Yes, they are very much linked, and I think what happens when we don't admit that those things are linked is what keeps us the most stuck. So when we are honest that as business owners, we are still people, we're still human, so we have fears, we procrastinate on things, or we tend to be try to be perfect with things, those things keep us stuck.
Procrastination and perfection, the dreaded two P words that come up in my life.
In everybody's life.
Well, thanks for mentioning that, because that's sometimes if we don't remove those obstacles, it doesn't matter what tools we, sometimes we think we just need to fix it with a tool. You know, if I just had the right software or calendar system, when really something else.
Yes, I agree. I can't tell you how often I get calls from potential clients saying, you know, I have all the latest gadgets and I'm still not organized and I'm still procrastinating. And the key is that procrastination and perfectionism are things that come from within us. Nothing is going, no software, no program, no calendar, like you just said, is going to make you do anything. So really it's about understanding that that's what's happening and then working on the underlying reasons. Why are you procrastinating? Why are you trying to be perfect with everything?
And I think that's going to be a theme as we carry on with our conversation here.
It will come up again.
It will come up again.
I am sure it will come up again. Yes.
So maybe knowing we're going to circle back to that, I want to ask about you being an introvert, because you and I met on the Facebook page, The Introvert Entrepreneur. And I'm curious about how being an introvert is supportive to you in creating a thriving business.
Well, first I want to say that I think you know how I feel about having run into your page. I think it's just made such a tremendous difference for me learning about what it is to be introverted and what comes along with it and what the strengths are. It was just a very powerful thing for me this year. I think that being an introvert is very helpful for me for two reasons. One, I am naturally excellent at protecting my time and my energy. I enjoy being alone, and so when I need to work on a project or something by myself, I don't find that difficult at all to do. And number two, because it helps me really be curious about people and really enjoy connecting with people one-on-one. And as a coach, and most of my work is one-on-one, that is obviously a strength.
Yeah, I've heard introverts kind of lament before, you know, I'm not good at connecting with large groups of people. I'm only good at one-on-one. And it's like, well, that is a tremendous asset.
It really is. It really is. And I think when you start appreciating that and looking at it for what it is, it is a wonderful thing to realize about yourself. At the same time, what you just mentioned right now about connecting with large groups of people, I do find that more difficult. So sometimes I realize the strength of being able to connect one-on-one, but it does take more work for me to do some of those networking events and things like that we need to do for our businesses.
Mm-hmm. What do you find supports you in being able to kind of work through that?
Again, I think the resources on your blog and the learning that I did this year about being an introvert was very, very helpful. One of the key things I remember from one of your podcasts was about protecting your energy. And I never put two and two together that is very effective to do also for networking events. And so I gave myself the permission that if I'm at a networking event and I feel that I need a little bit of a break, I know that that is part of what I need to do to recharge and come back and turn it on again and be able to connect with people for a little bit of time and then maybe needing another break again. So that has been tremendously helpful and empowering for me.
That's awesome, because that reinforces how, you know, information is power. And so the more we know about what our needs are, then we're much more at choice and we don't feel like, well, I have to stay in the room the entire time or I have to shake 20 hands in 15 minutes, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's being willing to apply it too. It's mm-hmm. It's hearing about it and then saying, okay, I'm going to do that next time I go to the networking event. I'm just going to try, you know, what I just learned and seeing that it works. So.
Yeah. So as you're doing this networking and you're meeting with entrepreneurs and small businesses, what do you see as the biggest obstacles that people are facing as they're trying to be more productive and manage their time more effectively?
The thing that I hear most often, especially nowadays, are distractions, whether it's from social media, Facebook. Facebook comes up a lot. I think it's the one thing that people mention most often. And, of course, you can never control distractions 100% because sometimes it's not distractions that you can help. I mean, if the phone rings or something happens that you're that you didn't expect. So the key is to control the distractions that are within your control. And one of the ways to do that is to set limits on the things that you know are your time wasters. So if you find yourself on Facebook all day or Twitter or just browsing the internet all day, put limits on that. Don't keep your browser open all day. Don't keep your email program open all day, which, by the way, reminds me, I'm very proud of you. I think I saw in your, I'm like, wow, I have to ask her. I saw in your signature line that you say you check email only twice a day now, and I was curious, is that working for you?
Uh-oh, it's confession time.
Well, yes, and as you and I were talking before the podcast, it's so wonderful to be confessing about things, like I've been lately, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've set that intention, and where I got that was from the 4-Hour Work Week.
Yes, and he's a big advocate of that.
Yes, and I have not been able to be as intentional about that as what I would like, and what it's done, though, has still decrease the amount that I'm checking my email. So I might not be sticking to that, you know, I only check it at 11 and 4, but I'm checking it maybe 5 times instead of 20. So you see what I mean? It has had an impact, even if I'm not sticking exactly to what I put out there quite
what
yet.
What you put out there, yeah. And I think, you know, that we said that this was going to circle back to the perfectionism, and I think that sometimes the mistake that people make with things like that, clients, I see them thinking that the change has to be 180 degrees in order for it to be a successful change. And many times an improvement has a tremendous positive effect on your productivity. So I think that's wonderful. If you've gone from 20 times a day, you know, to 4 times a day or 5 times a day, that's still, I guarantee, a lot less time in your inbox and a lot more time for more important things. So that's
absolutely
wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks for bringing that up, because that's an important
thing. I've been, the last couple of times I got your email, I said, wow, I have to ask her about this when we talk.
Yeah. And it's something I really hope to work my way into, that because I do think, like Tim Ferriss does, you know, there's a tremendous amount of control, power, choice that you demonstrate when you're able to really be thoughtful about your time. Yeah. And be able to, like you said, free up time for more important things. Right. And as we practice that, and as we learn, okay, the world doesn't end if I don't check my email 100 times a day. As we learn that lesson, then it becomes easier and easier. But it takes, you know, you can't go cold turkey. That's that's what I learned.
Right. And it's a constant. I think it's something that it never ends. It's kind of like when you get organized or you organize something. You can't organize it and then just leave it. There's a certain maintenance that goes along with it. And same thing with being more thoughtful or more disciplined about how you spend your time. There are always going to be some setbacks, or maybe one day you'll have a very productive day and the next day it won't be as productive. The key is to not take the bad from the day before and just say, how am I going to spend it today? What am I going to do in the next hour? It's almost like the smaller chunks that you try to be productive in, the easier it is to do. So it's a constant work in progress to stay productive.
Well, that's a great lead into the next point of curiosity I have, and that is that we can be really super busy doing a million tiny little things that feel important, like Facebook.
it does feel important, doesn't it?
It does. I'm a Facebook business page, so it's important. And you know, sometimes we're not willing to delegate. We're not willing to outsource. We set our priorities sometimes based on what's more fun or the low fruit. And so we feel like we're busy because we're doing all that stuff, but we're really not accomplishing anything. You know, we're not accomplishing as much as we could. Mm-hmm. So how can we shift from busyness to getting down to business?
I think the key is to really be honest with yourself about two things. And one is, what are the priorities in your business? What is it? What are the things that, if you did consistently, are going to get you closer to where you want to get to? So to be really honest and clear about those. And then to be honest about what the low-hanging fruit and the fun stuff is, because we can convince ourselves that it is really important to update my Facebook page 5 times a day or else, you know, my business is going to explode or, you know, we can convince ourselves of anything. And so once you are clear on what those two things are, you want to make sure that you're spending some time planning on spending time on those priorities. And you can do it the day of, but what I usually recommend for my clients is to work on that the night before. Because what happens is when the night before you start to plan for the next day, number one, you go to bed without all that, you know, mental chatter in your mind about all the things that you want to get done. And when you wake up, you are clear about what's important for me to get done today. And it's just little tricks like that that help you remember what it is that you really set out to do, what it is that you really want to accomplish today.
And what you're saying resonates for me also, because I can, my mood will shift from, you know, a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day of what I did towards from the next morning when my resolve might not be as strong, or I might be tired, or I might be distracted. And so if I don't have that list, I can let my unfocused feeling, pervade the day, you know,
absolutely,
rule the day.
Absolutely. The list is just, you know, we can call it a to-do list because it, really that's what it is, but it's really a reminder list. What is it that I would feel great about accomplishing today? And the key is also to be realistic. You don't want to have 20 things on that list because you're going to start the day feeling overwhelmed, and as if there isn't enough time in the day before you even get started. So, and what you, I love what you just said right now about waking up without possibly the control or the self-discipline. And the same thing applies if you want to start exercising. You don't want to wait until the morning to go and get your gym clothes ready. You want to do all that type of stuff the night before so that when you get up, everything is ready for you and you don't have to do that thinking in the morning. And the same thing applies to your to-do list.
Yeah, don't make me think in the morning.
Don't make me think, you know, and you're much more likely to go through with it.
Yes.
And not get tempted by Facebook if in front of you you have even if just one project that is a really moving forward type of project that you already determined, I'd love to get this done today, or at least put a dent in it.
I've learned a lot from you and on our Facebook pages through conversation about, you know, managing these types of tasks. And one of the things that I know that you've been helpful for me, and I'd love for you to share this awesome tip with everyone, is about structure. And you know, at least for me working from home, sometimes I have deadline-driven projects or I have appointments that add structure. Sometimes I don't. And sometimes that's by choice and sometimes it's by chance. And so without structure that's sort of imposed on me, I can waste a lot of time. I can spend way too much time on things that, you know, I could spend 3 hours on something that really should only take me about 45 minutes. And so, you know, how would you help someone like me who wants to, you know, values the freedom that comes from being a solopreneur or an entrepreneur, yet also needs some structure to move forward?
Right. And I think you hit on a couple of key things, and what you just said reminded me of something that Tim Ferriss talks about a lot, which is, you know, that work expands, you know, to the time that you allot for it. So something that should take 45 minutes, if you have an open 3 hours, magically, you end up spending the 3 hours on it. And that's also where perfectionism kicks in. Oh, I can, you know, make this really, really pretty, where it's absolutely not necessary. But I think the important thing, which we touched on already, is how much productivity really starts in the mind, and how powerful questions can really help. So if you know, let's say that you mentioned 3 hours of open time, the first thing I would recommend is asking yourself, what is the one project or task that would move me forward? So you need to be honest about that. That would move me forward, move my business forward. That it would feel great if at the end of that time, I can look back and say I worked on it or put a dent in it or completed. And make that the first thing that you do in that block of 3 hours. Make it your priority and prepare for it. Don't just go into the next 3 hours. Sometimes we forget to take a break or get a glass of water, and the desk is a mess, so prepare for the next 3 hours. If you know that that is usually a tempting time where you end up lost in Facebook, clear everything off your desk, turn off the Facebook, turn off the browser, turn off your email ding, and set your timer and get it done. And then something you asked me one time before is, how will you reward yourself when you're done with this thing? What will be your reward if you spend that 3 hour block of time using it to at least work on one thing that is really important to you? And then reward yourself with a Facebook break or just a break to disconnect.
And you mentioned the timer, and that's one big thing I've learned from you.
Famous for that.
I know. Can you talk a little bit more about how we can use a timer?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I am always talking about a timer. I get all my clients totally hooked on it. You can use the timer in basically two ways. But what the timer helps you do is, number one, realize how much time you really are spending on something. It's amazing how sometimes we think, oh, I only spent a half hour on Facebook when it really was an hour and a half. Or sometimes we think something is going to take much longer than it actually does. So by setting it, you begin to learn how long things really take. And that is very, very helpful when you're planning your day, because that's one thing that when you're planning your day, you always want to keep in mind. Not only do I want to make a list, but I want to keep it realistic based on how long things take. So before you start doing something that you know is a potential distraction, set the timer to 30 minutes. And when that ding goes off, you know that you spent your limited time, and that it sometimes can really help you get back on track and going on to the next thing, which, you know, might be a more important project or whatever is next on your list.
Yeah, I want to share the light bulb moment I had when I practiced this at your suggestion. And that was one day I said, okay, so I'm going to set my timer for 45 minutes. Uh-huh. And during that time, I'm only going to focus on updating finances. You know, I'm going to get my, Quicken. It's sad that I had to struggle for that word. I mean, I haven't been very good about updating it, but, you know, I'm going to get Quicken. I'm going to download my bank statements. I'm going to, you know, categorize everything and get it all squared away so that I feel good and I know where I'm at. And so I'm doing this and, you know, so I set my timer and I get to an entry that's for Groupon. And I think, oh, what was that Groupon for? I think that was for a restaurant or something. I should check that out before I forget. Because I thought, oh, I have to enter it into the register what it was, you know? And so I catch myself, I'm like starting to open up my browser to go to Groupon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy cow, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
That's exactly what happens.
And that's exactly what happens.
Oh, yeah. It was just such an epiphany. So I thought, okay, so what do I do? You know, what am I saying to myself? I'm saying, I should check this out before I forget. Well, I won't forget if I write it down.
absolutely.
So I found a piece of paper next to my, you know, computer, and I wrote down, check Groupon from September 10, you know.
Yes.
And then I said, okay. Back to Quicken, you know.
Exactly.
Ooh, but
exactly.
I figured out that rabbit hole. opened
right.
up right
and,
there.
And I think that we had talked about that before you know, when we were talking about using a timer. I think we mentioned, I forget exactly how the conversation went, but that's exactly what the timer helps you do is it reminds you, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to be going off in all different directions. I'm supposed to be concentrating on this one thing. And the other thing that you just mentioned is also a very simple, and again, it's all about simple tools that are going to help keep you focused. Keep a notepad on your desk and do exactly as you did. When something comes into your mind that is going to take you away from what you're trying to concentrate on, write it down on that pad, write it down on that piece of paper and go back to it once the timer goes off. But mm-hmm. during that time when the timer's still going, you're concentrating on Quicken only. And obviously that goes for any project that you're working on.
So you've shared with us some really simple tools. You've talked about writing things down,
Yes. So
the pen, the paper, and the timer.
Yes.
Are there any other practical tools that someone can start to use to take better control of their time and projects?
Oh, sure. There's tons of tools out there, and whatever the best thing is really depends on the person, on what they'd like to use, how they think, where they are normally spending most of their day. If they're in front of their computer, a perfect tool is going to be different than someone who's traveling all the time. But in general, I like Outlook a lot. I'm certified in Outlook, and I like it mostly because it's an all-in-one type of program. So you can keep your contacts, your tasks, your notes, calendar, all in one place. So that's a very powerful thing. And you can, of course, one of my favorite features is that you could actually turn a task into a calendar item or vice versa. So very quickly, you can get something from an email and turn it into an appointment. So that helps you just work more efficiently and helps you do things right then and there so you don't forget. And we touched a little bit on social media, and there's tons of tools out there to help people work more efficiently with that. One of the ones that I really like is Hootsuite. What I like about it is that from that central location, you can post to all different social media networks, including Facebook. So you're saving some time by posting something in Hootsuite, and it will show up in Twitter and Facebook, and it even lets you schedule tweets in advance. So figure out, where you are spending most of your time and what tools are out there to help me get things done the quickest.
Mm-hmm. What I appreciate about what you've just shared is that you've reminded us that we need to ask ourselves some questions about what's going to be most effective for us, because we can hear, my best friend or this colleague or this other coach said that, oh, this is the most awesome tool ever. You have to use it. And it may or may not be the right fit for us, but we can spend a lot of time and money chasing those sorts of things, whereas we could probably save ourselves some time if we ask ourselves some of those key questions beforehand.
Absolutely. Time, money, and energy. Mm-hmm. For example, I just shared with you that I really like Outlook because it's a central location for everything. Having said that, though, you can use Outlook in whichever way best works for you. For many of my clients, they'll use Outlook for everything, but they're task list because they prefer to keep their task list on paper. But I can't tell you how many clients I work with that when I started working with them, they told me, I'm using Outlook for my tasks, and I used to use paper and I used to love it, but now I keep everything in Outlook and I just feel more disorganized than ever. Why are you using Outlook for tasks if it's not working for you? I think we're so stuck on using technology because it's the latest thing that we fail to realize that paper can work really, really well for some people. So make sure that you're paying attention when you're using something. Is it working for you? Are you resisting it? If every time you have to put a task into Outlook or looking Outlook, you're resisting it, try paper, and stick with it for a month to see how it works. So use whatever feels right to you.
That feels so important. And you've just given me some permission, because I've been feeling that conflict. Like, I don't like to put my tasks in Outlook for some reason. I like to write them down. And even as I write them down, I think, oh, I should be putting this all in one place. I should be putting it in Outlook. And that right there is the red flag that says, oh, really? Is that really going to work?
My permission.
Yay!
My permission and my encouragement, actually, because it'll really make a difference if you're using something that you actually enjoy using and that you will use. Now, you said something really important. You should keep everything in one place, but think of your tasks as totally separate from Outlook then. Think of your tasks as a separate leg of what you need to do and make sure that those are kept in a central location, but on paper. So maybe a notebook or a pad that you use strictly for your to-do list.
So you mean all my little post-its are not a good idea?
Correct. Or post-its all over the place, right.
Exactly.
No, you want to make sure that if you need to grab that pad for whatever reason or you need to write something down, you know exactly where it is and you know exactly what you need to refer to. So definitely start using paper if that's what you know by instinct is what works for you.
Yeah, it seems like we can do all the tools we want, but if it doesn't work for us, then it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And you know, again, I mean, part of what I do is I believe that most of the advantage of working with someone like me is that I can help you cut through all of that and figure out what's going to work best. For some people, it's a whiteboard. But when they start working with me, they know that it helped them because they used it at some point, but they're resisting going back to it. So I just give them permission. Let's use it and let's see how we can make it work in a way that you're going to feel good about.
You're doing such important work.
I love it.
and this message, the timing of this podcast is perfect for the new year as many of us are trying to do new habits and we have new goals and priorities and intentions, and we can set all of those that we want, you know, till the cows come home. And if we aren't intentional with our time and clear about our priorities, that's one reason why all of those things often, you know, we feel like we're spinning our wheels. So
absolutely.
Very important information. So thank you for sharing all of that. And I'm just going to shift gears here to the closing of our conversation. And one question I like to ask all of my guests is that if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, what three books would you take with you?
I like the sound of an Introvert Island. I would have so much fun there. I would love to just go off by myself for a year. What three books would I want to take? I would say the Success Principles by Jack Canfield. It's a book that I absolutely love. I think there is so many resources there and ways to make you think. So I definitely recommend that one. I really love The Confident Leader by Lorena Case. It's a book that I mention so often. It really isn't just for leaders. It's for everyone. Wonderful book. And the third book that I would like to take, because I think especially for women, it's really, really important that we get good at negotiating. We are negotiating every day, is You Can Negotiate Anything by Herb Cohen. Those are three books that I think I would really enjoy having with me and would make me a better business owner in person if I read them every day throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. So when you come back from that island, you're back in business.
You're bringing me back already?
I'm bringing you back. I'm sorry. I know. It was a quick trip. How would people be able to get in touch with you and learn more about you and your services and your business?
Well, right now, my website and the name of my business is Vista Norte, which is www.vistnorte.com. But I am going through a little bit of a rebranding right now. So my new business is going to be Business in Blossom. And of course, if they go to my current website, it'll redirect them. But on my website, I have a way for people to sign up for the monthly newsletter that I send out, and I give tips on creating more success and flow and joy for women who have home-based businesses. And I also will be doing a blog that I wanted to tell you about, so I'm excited about that. That should be up within the next 2 weeks, I hope. I've been waiting a long time.
Oh, excellent. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so that 2 weeks, just in case somebody's listening in the archives, that would be sometime towards the end of January.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it should be up and running. But if they go to my current website now, it'll redirect them to the new one.
Great. And will the new address be businessandblossom.com?
It will be businessandblossom.com, yes.
Great. And even though we talked about a little bit of the evils of Facebook, I know you have a Facebook presence. And so where can people find you there?
Oh, thank you for asking me that. I would love if your listeners came by my page. I also make it a point to give productivity and time management organization tips for home-based business women owners. And the page there is facebook.com/bemoreproductive.
Thank you so much, Claudine, for your time and for your enthusiasm and expertise and great tips.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Beth. As I said, I've enjoyed meeting you and learning from you, and I really appreciate the conversation that we had today.
Well, the feeling is mutual. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. I hope you enjoyed this podcast interview with Claudine Motto and picked up a few tips that will help you be more productive this year. As a bonus to this podcast, Claudine has compiled a list of her favorite productivity tools, which you can find on the webpage for this podcast at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. While you're there, take a look at other podcasts you may have missed. And to be notified of future podcasts, you can subscribe to the RSS feed or visit iTunes. To find me, just type the word introvert into the search bar in the audio podcasts section. If you enjoy these podcasts, I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share these interviews with friends, family, and colleagues. You can also find out more about my coaching services, workshops, and speaking engagements at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. And last but not least, be sure to join us for more community and conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.